Despite all the favorable conditions and high demand for solar power in Nevada, there are challenges. Yes, there's the COVID-19 pandemic, which is likely to stall or even cancel some solar projects that are under development, according to federal energy projections. There's a more fundamental problem as well, though. The sun doesn't always shine. That's why more battery storage is needed to capture and store solar power when the sun is up, so utilities have enough to deliver when the sun is down. But one Nevada solar plant has found another solution. KUNR's Benjamin Payne has the story.
Solar farms aren't usually this loud, but the Stillwater Power Plant 10 miles northeast of Fallon is not usual. What you're hearing right now aren't actually solar panels. There are plenty of those here, over 280,000, but they're pretty much silent. No, what you're hearing is a big pump called a heat exchanger. It's part of the plant's geothermal facility. The Italian company Enel Green Power owns the Stillwater plant and sells much of its power to NV Energy, Nevada's largest electric utility. Stillwater draws energy from both the earth and the sun. Head over to the control room and you can see how the two complement each other.
So this is nighttime to daytime, and you can see here how exactly the solar fills in the trough of the geothermal.
That's Chuck Salo. He oversees solar and geothermal technologies in the western U.S. for Enel. Salo is pointing at one of the many computer monitors in the room. This one in particular shows two graphs. One gives the plant's solar output over the past several hours, the other its geothermal output. They look like mere opposites of each other.
The solar is coming online with the sun, and its power curve is beginning to come up with the sun, and it maximizes throughout the day while the geothermal net output is at its lowest, and then the inverse happens as the sun goes down at night.
The solar and geothermal are tag-teaming. Solar panels generate their most power when the sun is up, obviously. Less obvious is that geothermal, at least this kind of geothermal, generates its most power at night because there's a big difference between the temperature of the Earth's hot surface and the temperature of the cold nighttime air.
And so as our solar is decreasing, our geothermal is increasing.
And vice versa. All of this means that the plant can feed power onto the electric grid literally day and night. But like I said before, Stillwater is unusual. Enel Green Power says that these hybrid plants are rare because they require more land, more transmission infrastructure, and more capital investment than a single technology plant. In fact, Stillwater is the only dual solar geothermal plant that serves NV Energy customers. Whereas it can run 24/7, other solar plants can't.
Unless there is some effective storage, we will quickly become capped out at how much solar power we can produce and use.
That's Kent Hookman. He's a scientist who studies renewable energy at the Desert Research Institute in Reno. Hookman says that many solar plants overproduce power during the daytime hours when demand is relatively low.
They produce more electricity from solar than they can use. There's not that much demand for the electricity. They have to throw it away.
Then, when demand peaks in the evening, there's no solar, and the grid has to turn to dirtier forms of energy, like coal and natural gas. And that's a problem for a state that's trying to cut down on its carbon emissions. Just last year, Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak signed a bill requiring half of all energy sold by electric providers to come from renewable forms of energy, like solar, by the year 2030. Hookman says it will be extremely difficult to meet that goal in just 10 years' time, although it is within the realm of possibility. But if the state is going to hit that 50% target, be it 10 years from now or later, batteries will be indispensable.
Development of battery storage is happening quickly. And I can foresee some years from now when it will be cost-effective to store significant amounts of solar-generated electricity in batteries for use at times at night.
Hookman isn't the only one for seeing more cost-effective batteries. So is the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, which projects that capital costs for battery storage will be anywhere between 20 and 70% cheaper in a decade compared to how much they cost just 2 years ago. Rebecca Wagner used to serve on the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada. Part of her job was to review proposals from companies like NV Energy that wanted to see more power plants built. Back when she served from 2006 to 2015, there were no proposals for solar plants with battery storage. But things have since changed.
Most of the new projects that have been approved for Nevada have, at least the last round, have significant battery storage.
Wagner is talking about a handful of NV Energy solar plants currently under development with battery storage in the works. The utility is planning for three of them in northern Nevada. Energy analysts expect the pandemic to delay some projects across the nation. As for Nevada in particular, a spokeswoman for NV Energy said in an email, quote, "All of our renewable projects are an important part of our future renewable portfolio, and we look forward to these projects' successful on-time completions," unquote. To be sure, the pandemic has dealt a blow to the energy sector. It's disrupted global supply chains, which energy companies rely on to source materials for their solar panels and batteries. Energy analytics firm Wood Mackenzie projects 20% fewer storage installations this year as a result of the novel coronavirus. But Wood Mackenzie also expects the storage industry to bounce back to its pre-coronavirus level of business as early as next year. So, even though the present moment may be bleak, the long-term outlook for solar storage remains rosy. That's thanks to technological gains made in recent years.
Lithium-ion batteries in general have had a ton of development with the advent of their use in portable electronic devices. They keep getting better at making them.
That's Dan Simpson. He's an electrical engineer in Tempe, Arizona, who works for an engineering firm called IMEG. Simpson has worked on utility-scale solar projects, including for Arizona Public Service, the state's largest electric utility.
The same kind of batteries that are commonly being used in battery energy storage systems are also used in laptops, phones.
So, breakthroughs made in small batteries, like the one in your phone or laptop, can carry over to big batteries, like the ones used at solar plants. That makes them more cost-effective. Of course, as with any investment, there are risks involved. Plans can backfire, literally. Simpson says utility-scale batteries have caught fire. And then there's the risk of the battery becoming obsolete.
Technology in general, right, is evolving so fast that anytime you make a large investment in any sort of technology, there's a risk that next week some new whiz-bang technology could come along that's just so much better than what you just spent all that money investing in. And lithium-ion batteries are no exception. But my guess is it's, you know, a relatively minor risk that the odds of a major breakthrough that then gets brought to market, you know, occurring over the 5 to 7 year lifespan of your battery is probably a pretty negligible risk.
Back at the Stillwater plant near Fallon, Terry Page with Enel Green Power tells me batteries were just way too expensive when Stillwater was built 10 years ago.
When this design was proposed, that is the offsetting solar against the geothermal, you couldn't buy batteries to do what we did for the price of what we did here. Now the batteries are less. Every project we're going to do in the future, we're looking at whether or not a battery will work.
And that is something many other power companies will be looking at throughout this new decade. Benjamin Payne, KUNR News.
This story was produced in collaboration with the Mick Hitchcock Project for Visualizing Science at the University of Nevada, Reno's Reynolds School of Journalism, where Benjamin Payne is a graduate student.